At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Let's get into Harlem series finale. Y'all probably ain't gonna feel how I feel, but I am very angry about it. And it's not, I'm not angry because it ended necessarily, because I am angry it ended, but I'm angrier at how it ended, okay? Like, I felt like the writers want to square up with me. Yo, party people, it's Ashley of SingleWomanChronicles.com, where being single is a beautiful choice rather than a miserable circumstance. And y'all, I'm so sorry that I missed the last week. I had a deadline, life started lifing, and I just did not have the brain capacity to record. I was just like, oh my God, I just can't do it. My brain needs to break. I just need to take it out of my head and put it on a charger. Y'all ever need to take your brain out your head and put it on a charger? That is me so often. Oh Lord. Well, today is one of those days where my brain still needs to be on the charger, but let's get into Harlem series finale. Y'all probably ain't gonna feel how I feel, but I am very angry about it. And it's not, I'm not angry because it ended necessarily, because I am angry it ended, but I'm angrier at how it ended, okay? Like, I felt like the writers want to square up with me, because like, why did you end it like that? And I know everyone's, I'm a writer. So as a writer, you end the story how you see fit. And I respect that. But at the same time, I'm like, why y'all end it like that? So let's get into the lessons learned from the series finale of Harlem. But before we get into that, I do want to talk about Super Bowl. Can we talk about the diabolicalness of Kendrick Lamar? Okay. Yes, he had a very deep message. I did not realize that their setup from the top, because they didn't show like the top, was a controller. So basically how America is controlling the black people, and this is like all a game, and you got to play the game. And that's why Samuel L. Jackson was Uncle Sam. So it was like a really dope message. But let's talk about how diabolical Kendrick is. I don't know if y'all peeped it, but when it said A minor, he had a flag with a lowercase a and two children reaching for the a. Like, Kendrick please. And then the smirk he gave when he said, say Drake. Yo, yes, I have been unfriending people who said that the Super Bowl halftime sucked, or who said that Kendrick is blah, 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 blah. And the reason I've been unfriending them, not because they don't share my same opinion, but the same reason I unfriend people who say that Beyonce is overrated, because obviously you don't like nice things. Obviously you're too delusional to be on my timeline. Your level of delusion, I cannot take. So let me go ahead and remove you. Let me go ahead and get you out of here. I've been doing a lot of unfriending because at this age, you know, Facebook been around for a long time. Facebook been out since I was in high school, a freaking junior in high school. So because it has been out this long, I have all of these people on my timeline. I don't know these folks. So a great way to unfriend people is to unfriend people who voted for Trump, who support him and his crazy initiatives, to unfriend people who don't like nice things, like Kendrick Lamar, to unfriend people who keep arguing that Drake is the better rapper, and Bridges, please. But delusional people who don't like nice things are getting unfriended. Because, like, get away. Get thee behind me. So I will tell you to do the same thing, okay? So unfriend people for your mental health. Don't even got to say nothing. You ain't got to say I'm unfriending you. Because don't none grind my gears more than someone who goes under a comment. I mean, goes under your photo or video and comments, I'm unfriending you now because you said XYZ. Shut up. I don't care. Like, just unfriend me silently because I'm unfriend y'all silently. If not y'all, because I love y'all. I'm talking about the people who I just described. But yeah, anyway, let's jump into Harlem. Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. I really didn't learn any lessons from Harlem, but what not to do. What we not gonna do. Because if I'm being honest, the reason, it kind of goes with the reason I stopped watching dating shows. I no longer watch dating shows like Love is Blind. If I watch Ready to Love, which is one that I absolutely loved, is background noise. I don't watch Married at First Sight anymore. I haven't watched it since Chris and Paige. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Because I don't like the narrative being pushed. I don't like certain narratives, especially as a single woman still hoping for monogamy, still hoping for a husband. Like, it's certain things I cannot intake. And I feel like the Harlem series finale was something that I'm like, honestly, I didn't want to intake this. Like, I love the series. And this isn't even me insulting the writers, because again, as a writer, you have creative control. You write what you want to write. And we all write from our own experience, right? Our perception is our reality. Our experience is how we want to write it. And usually your writing comes from your experience, how you see the world, how you view things, your beliefs, your values, your morals, et cetera, et cetera. So of course I'm biased. Of course I'm biased. We all are biased. We all have bias, right? Because I'm going to feel a certain type of way because I'm a single woman who believes in monogamy and I still want a marriage. So someone else who believes in polygamy is going to think something else. Or something else. Someone else who only wants casual relationships may believe something else. Someone else who's been divorced, they may believe a whole different thing. So yes, I'm biased. So this is my biased opinion. I'm going to go backwards because the one who pissed me off the most, the Quinn story pissed me off the most. Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler alert. If you have not watched the ending of Harlem series finale and you want to, do not continue because I'm going to spoil it all for you. Okay, let's kick it off with who we going to start with? Let's kick it off with Angie. I liked Angie because Angie was a real one. Angie was honest from day one. She knew what she wanted. She knew what she didn't want. We all knew that her love from day one was her career. She wanted her career. She was a playgirl. She was a free spirit. She had them dudes. Like, she wasn't trying to be tied down. She just so happened to fall in love with Mike, which is beautiful, right? And so she gets with Mike. He's like a clean cut guy. She's the wild child. Opposites attract. Great, great, great. I feel like their love story was kind of like, we're opposites. You bring stability. I bring the wildness. But at the same time, I don't think they really got to the core of compatibility. So I feel like there's a thing called long-term compatibility, meaning like, can we be compatible long-term or is this just a good time? Because we know that love cannot sustain a relationship long-term because, listen, let me tell you something. I mean, biblically, you know, it says love is enough. Love conquers all things. But I feel like in practical terms, you need to marry the right person for the love to conquer, because sometimes you can get yourself in a situation where y'all are not going back to equally yoked, which means like y'all don't see things the same way and y'all can start to clash so much it just won't work. So I feel like they just did not have long-term compatibility because they were not equally yoked. And again, this has nothing to do with religion. They were not equally yoked because they did not view valuable things that both of them needed in a relationship the same. So Mike, they had two different meanings to words. Mike's definition of support was, I need all of you. you can have hobbies, but I want you to be all about me. Mike wanted more so like a stay-at-home type of wife. And some women are cool with that, but Angie ain't never been that. So Angie, her definition of support is, I am willing to compromise and be there for you, but I also want you to support my dreams as well. And no matter if you don't see them as big dreams, you still need to support them because they're important to me, right? What's important to me, I need you to support, right? And you don't have to quit your job or anything like that. I just need you to understand me and support me by believing in me, right? So Mike, his support looked one way, Angie's looked another way. And I feel like that's why they clashed. And I don't think one was wrong or right or whatever, but it's like, I don't believe Mike understood who she was because I feel like when he met her, acting was just a hobby. He thought acting was just a hobby for her. He did not realize it was her purpose. It was her dream because she hadn't booked anything in so long. So like he said, all her time was about him. But then when she started to take it serious, he literally said, you're too ambitious for me. He did not want an ambitious woman. Some men are like that. They don't want that. They want the woman who is just going to cater to them. I once had an ex tell me, I don't want a wife who's an entrepreneur or who is a go-getter. I want an assistant. Like, I know I'm doing big things. I want her to assist me. So I listen for words like that because that tells me that, oh, I can't be your person because I cannot do that. Like, because I'm a dreamer. I'm ambitious. I'm very ambitious. So I know we're going to clash. So that is one lesson to learn, to listen for keywords. I would say, like, when you go into these dating scenarios, especially when you feel like, okay, it's about to get serious, because of course you're going to have those questions up front, but some things don't come up. You will forget to ask. So I think listening for those keywords in conversations, like, okay, if they say, for example, I like a woman who is supportive. What does supportive mean to you? What does that look like on a daily, right? I like a woman who is a homemaker. Okay, what does that look like to you? I like a woman who compromises. Okay, what does compromise mean to you on a day-to-day, right? So you have to ask these questions because you don't want to get into wedding planning engagement and then it falls apart. But it's better that it falls apart in engagement and then it falling apart when you get married. So I don't like the narrative that you have to sacrifice one thing for the other. Like, I don't like the narrative that you can't have your dreams and your man at the same time. I don't like that. And again, this is why I'm very strategic with what I intake into my eye and my ear gates, which means like what I listen to, what I watch, because I'm in a season where I need to continue to believe that it's out there for me. So if I see certain things, it can be discouraging. So for me, I didn't like that it's like, oh, you got to choose between your career, because they often tell Black women that. They often tell Black women, you cannot have a successful career plus your love life. You gotta pick one, which is crazy work because it's like, why? Like that's just, I don't know, it's diabolical to me. So I feel like you can have both, and I don't like when.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
That narrative is pushed, but, you know, it's their creative freedom. to write whatever they want. Second storyline, Ty, and I don't remember Gail Bean's name in the show, but that's who played the role. I don't really have much to say about them. I did not like the narrative push that toxic love wins every time, because the two most toxic characters, which are Camille and Ty, both had their happily ever after. And that pissed me off, because it basically says if you're not intentional, then you're going to fall in love and it's going to work out. But if you are intentional, then it's not going to work out because you're trying to force it. And it's just like, wait, what? Wait, what? So what you mean to tell me the girl who went around and dogged everybody out, she ended up with her happy ending? And then the other girl who was playing Mixed Signals McGee, who done told this man, who done broke up this man's wedding, who also then followed up, broke up a whole relationship. And because she want to be back and forth, she don't know how to communicate. Of course, she gets an honest because her mom is crazy work as well. So you mean to tell me they get their happy ending? But the people, so it pushes the narrative of nice people with good intentions finish last. Don't like that. Do not like that. Now, I will say a sidebar. Let's go back to Ian. So I spent most of my time feeling sorry for Ian. I felt sorry for Ian because I'm like, you are dealing with this crazy lady, Camille, and I know you are in love, and I know you're trying to move on. And it just sucks. But then I stopped feeling sorry for Ian this season at the end. And here's why I stopped feeling sorry for Ian. Ian kept bringing people into his mess because he refused to clean it up by himself. Ian is the type of guy who he wants love so bad that he doesn't care who he hurts in the process. And I realized after analyzing this, because it really was on my, like, I was so mad at the ending that I was analyzing it so bad. But I realized that Ian is just as self-centered as Camille is, because instead of figuring his ish out and instead of creating boundaries with Camille so he doesn't hurt other people, he constantly allows certain things to happen for him to get sucked back into the Camille windmill, right? And it's not fair. So I feel like with the first one, I cut him a little slack because it had been years since they had seen each other. He had went off to another country. Then he came back. He was engaged. It just kind of happened. He realized, oh my God, I'm still in love with this woman. And it sucked how it happened, but it happened, right? But then this time with Portia pissed me off. And let me tell you why it pissed me off. And Portia, she's a little bit to blame too, because she chose this life. It pissed me off because, Ian, you just got a relationship with crazy Camille. And y'all was already screwing and stuff, right? Their relationship was only over for like 6 months. They were screwing for like, what was it, 2 or 3 months or something? And then you had already moved on to somebody else, and you out here talking about freezing eggs and fermenting eggs and all this stuff like that. But you still hadn't taken time to like really go to yourself and like heal and really realize if you're over this woman or not, right? You were using Portia to move on instead of just being by yourself, because you know how back and forth you and Camille are. And instead of just isolating yourself and not bringing anyone else into your turmoil, you brought another person into your turmoil. And then you use the excuse of when y'all broke up, oh, well, I didn't want to hurt you. I wanted to stay. I just wanted to be a stand-up guy. You're a stand-up guy, but you're not going to stay here out of some obligation. So that happens when you have these self-centered people who live life to please themselves, right? So like for me, I don't do rebounds. The reason I don't do rebounds, even if it's in my book, How to Extra X, I have a chapter called Rebounds Are Only Good in Basketball. And I talk about how when you have a rebound, if you go into a relationship right after one, like right after you just ended one, most likely you're going to have a rebound situation. And what happens is either you're going to get hurt or you're going to hurt somebody else. So it don't matter. Somebody going to get hurt. Either you or the other person. Because you're using them. And then when it clicks in your head that either you're not over that person, I mean, that you finally got over that person and use of them, or that you're not over that person, you end up going back, like, you're going to hurt them, right? So it's a selfish move because you don't know the outcome and you're really just using somebody else to, like, the whole dating advice, oh, the best way to get over somebody is get under somebody new. Stupid advice. Dumbest thing ever. Because have you ever been trying to get over somebody, and so you go out with somebody else, and then when you go out with that other person, that date is so dang on bad and awful, and that person's so sucky that it make you miss the last person? Exactly. You don't know what's gonna happen. So I feel like with Ian, he was self-centered because he was just trying to get over Camille so bad that he didn't care how he did it. So he brought somebody else in. And even though he had good intentions, and I feel like he was unaware of what he was doing, which a lot of people do that, but it's like, you know, you and her back and forth, but he did not create certain boundaries. Because honestly, when that girl told you she was pregnant, I honestly feel like you should have broke things off with Portia, because you know good and well you're not going to be able to, because y'all were fresh. I feel like you know good and well you're not going to be able to balance both. Like, come on, bro. Be for real. You know you're not. You know how y'all are. Like, don't do this. And you know Camille crazy. Like, why would you bring somebody in that? Come on now. Like, be for real. So they honestly deserve each other. But I felt like it was unfair that they had to hurt all these people in the process. Because he hurt two good women. Ian hurt two good women because of this. So it's another example, a narrative of toxic love wins. Piss me off. Okay, let's get into the last. Oh, that's what I was going to say before I move on. I feel like when you get into situations, one lesson you can learn from this scenario is there are many men out there like Ian. He kind of reminds me of Lawrence from Insecure, when how he was dealing with the bank girl. I forgot her name. Tasha. Was it Tasha? How he was dealing with Tasha. Like, he was unaware that he was using her to get over Issa. So it was just kind of like he just wanted to feel better. So he was using her, and then she got hurt in the process. And she told him, like, you're the worst kind of F-boy because you don't even realize you're F-boy. So if you want to avoid men like Ian, you have to ask the right questions. Men get mad at me because I ask too many. They say I ask too many questions. But the only people who are mad when you ask too many questions are the people who have something to hide, or the people who don't have the intentions they tell you they have. So ask them questions. So I'm always asking stuff like, when was your last relationship? How did it end? How old is that baby? Like, what? You got somebody? Come on, bro. So it's just like, I understand that people need healing time. So if someone's telling me out the gate, like, oh yeah, I just broke up with my ex 6 months ago. How long were y'all together? Oh, we was on and off for 8 years. Yeah, brother, go. You need a little bit more time. Or like when I'm dating people, if I date people, if I decide, okay, I might give you a chance because you have kids, that baby got to be 5 and older. I can't deal with it. Like, I don't know. The mama got to be dead or in jail if they ain't 5 and older. I don't know what to tell you. So you got to avoid these ends out here, because a lot of them, they probably are serial monogamous. They've been in relationships their whole life, and they don't know how to not be in a relationship. So they're just going to jump from relationship to relationship. And sometimes they end up hurting people in the process. So you got to watch out for the ends. Okay. The last one that pissed me off to the highest point of pissivity, Quinn. Quinn to me was the one person who deserved love. She deserved the fairy tale ending, but she did not get it, in my opinion. Like, why does she had to become, I did enjoy that she fell in love with herself and she realized that she wasn't a problem. She became more confident. She was Queen Mother Effing Joseph. I did enjoy that. Like, I did enjoy her confidence building her confidence. I did not enjoy how they tried to play in her face with Seth. Now, I did enjoy that she got to be with Kofi Cerebo, because that baby is fine. Okay, he is fine, okay? But to bring it to a polygamous situation, okay, granted, they did start off as like, oh, we're not serious. But then things changed, okay? But my thing was just like, why couldn't Sister Girl get her happy ending? Like, why couldn't he be the one? And if he wasn't going to be the one, why we didn't bring back her actual real life husband from last season where he really wanted her, he wanted everything she wanted? Why we couldn't bring him back? Like, why we couldn't bring him back? Because now the time is right. Like, why we couldn't run that back? So it just pissed me off. And that's another thing. It's like, you can be the most, it was pushing the narrative that lover girls lose. Women who want this thing lose. So you might as well settle for polygamy. But nah, I am happy that she said no. It was crazy work that she went to that meeting, because I'm like, girl, I'm not finna go to this meeting about polygamy. Another thing, I'm sorry, but if you have to make up words to explain a point about something, it don't make sense. Because Kofi was in his diabolical, I'm making up words bag, trying to explain polygamy. It's like, if you gotta make it up, baby, it's just not. But I do feel like he should have said something in the beginning, like, I believe in polygamy. But honestly, I'm not mad at him, because they did not have the conversation again until that moment. Like, in the beginning, it was, we're casual. Then he's dropping the love bomb. And then all of a sudden, boom, he on the phone with Sabrina and she calling him out. So I'm not mad at Kofi, because I don't believe he did anything wrong, just because how their relationship played out. I'm just mad at the writers for not giving Quinn a happy ending. Now, she did end up seeing Isabella at the end, and maybe they're going to do something. But I just hate how much she had to go through just to get to this. Like, bruh, come on. Like, be for real. Like, So lessons learned from that is like, when you don't state what you want in the beginning, you can expect anything in the end. because unfortunately, Quinn did not establish what she wanted in the beginning, and they did not get to the conversation until the end. She ended up with this polygamous situation, and she had already fallen in love with this guy, right? So yeah, so it's just like, expect the unexpected when you don't state what you want in the end. Expect the unexpected, okay? And you can't get mad at the unexpected, because you didn't state what you wanted in the end, in the beginning. So that's just what it is. Well, that's all I got for now. What did y'all think about the series finale? Did y'all learn any lessons? Did they piss you off like they pissed me off? I don't know. Well, until next time, bye.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.